Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. My name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. So you can get a pen, piece, or paper and begin to take notes and write down any comments or questions that you might have. And at the end of the ministry, we'll allow you to go ahead and ask those questions and make those comments so that you can grow with us here at livedeliverance.com. So if you would just join your hearts with me in a word of prayer, and we'll get into the word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. that healing and deliverance break forth in this place and this time because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me now. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. This is a part two of Forgiveness, Our Only Option. Forgiveness is an eternal requirement, and it's at the forefront of our salvation. As I'm studying this, I'm finding more and more that forgiveness is connected to the flow of God. In fact, I've stated that it is the regulator to the flow of God in our lives. And if we don't function in forgiveness and understand why God set it up this way, see, the Bible says about God, in him there is no darkness at all. So then the flow that he wants in us is the same flow that's in him. And God so loved that he gave. See, it was the way that the kingdom is set up. It's supposed to be a continuous pouring or flow from one to another. What the Spirit does is the Spirit sows into the Father, and the Father sows into the Spirit, and the Son sows into the Father, and the Father sows into the Son, and the Father sows into the Spirit, and it continues. One continues to flow into the other. They don't have the issue that we have, that somebody's going to get more notoriety. Because you can't get notoriety if you are busy giving away everything that you have. If you are emptying yourself, you don't have time for what do I have, do you? You take less inventory because you are making deposits. Because as you make deposits, the way the kingdom works is there is a deposit being made in your life. See, so that I become empty so that the deposit can flow. And then when the deposits flow, I become empty. So you can see how it's a continuous motion. And he said that that's the way we're supposed to be. In him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. We've got to decide and purpose in our heart that I'm not going to try to hoard up a thing. See, when I do that, I protect myself, or I do the opposite of what Jesus asked us to do in Philippians chapter 2. It says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He didn't think it was robbery to be equal, but he didn't make it a thing that he tried to continue to prove. He just did what the Bible says it this way, I only do what I see my Father do. Amen. See? He saw the Father so love, he came to so love. Okay, say that slow. He came to S-O love with display in a mighty way. He also came to S-O-W love, to cause it to be in our lives. Amen. See, it's all about what can I give. In the kingdom of God, it's not about what can I get. Because as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. As long as the earth remains, this is the way it goes round and round. See, Because as you give, it shall be given unto you. And how will it be given unto you? Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. So then you're supposed to give, okay, just so that I see this, he said, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So then that means you have four opportunities to plant one seed. Amen. Because as soon as you get it, you're supposed to give, and then it'll be given to you so that you can give again. The kingdom never stops this way. See? This is the regulator. If you give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Then he said, shall men. Glory to God. That's just not a one. Now it becomes exponential, doesn't it? But if I choose not to forgive, I just stopped the process of the kingdom. It didn't stop the Lord from loving you, if you would. I stopped the flow of a thing. See, we are the ones that have our hands on the faucet. See? Again, give and it shall be. See? You are the one that causes the flow to start. If you, okay, again, we can just look at these things. These are spiritual principles. See? In Galatians chapter 6, it tells us that God is not willing to do without what? A cheerful giver. Why? What happens if you give? Because now God is able to make all grace abound towards you so that you will always, under all circumstances, have more than enough to give to not some, to every good work and every charitable donation. See? It's always cyclical, if you would. It's about cycles. And so God is asking you to participate at the highest level. Glory to God. When you participate at love's level, you get love's results. That's just so good. When you participate at love's level, you get love's results. And one of the guarantees we have as a love result is love never fails. Wow. See? When we open up our heart and allow our heart to take the word of God and utilize it continually, it makes the whole thing work. Because your faith works by love. See? I sent a text out this morning because I understood it from a different construct. The field that we're supposed to sow into is the field of love. That's the overarching umbrella of our life. His banner over us is love. The umbrella that we should operate under is love. When love is enforced, this is good. When love is enforced, then it causes everything else to begin to function, be seen, and be understood. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Again, these are just things that as we open it up, it becomes very apparent. Okay? It becomes very, very apparent. Let's start at chapter 3, verse 10 and following. Ephesians chapter 3. If we don't have these foundations, okay, this has to be our backdrop. This has to be the motivation behind what we do. Okay? If for some reason this is not my motivation, if I'm, oh, shoot, Man, see, this is, he says these things. We see it all the time. He says that in Matthew chapter 6, we might be able to get over to that, starting with what our attitude should be, the Beatitude, and then go on all the way through chapter 8. Everything in the Bible is redundant because he's trying to get it over to us. He says it over and over and over again. Paul wrote it this way. He says, it's not grievous for me to write the same things unto you. We hear scripture when the Bible says, and Jesus saith unto them again. The word there again means he done said it before, huh? Jesus himself said, again I say unto you. I mean, you hear these principles over and over, but we don't pay attention to them. We think maybe that's just something that had to fill the paper of the Bible, so they stuck it in there. No, this is a looking glass opportunity where we can see how God thinks and how he operates. He gives us glimpses into the kingdom so that we can function by the kingdom and enjoy the kingdom. Because Jesus said, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. He's brought it close. Come on, y'all, come on. He made it so close, he said it's even in you. See? But the challenge is that we've been looking for another option. And the flow or the regulator of the kingdom of God is forgiveness under the umbrella of love. See? When that becomes my backstop, when the devil pushes you into the corner, when pressure comes against you, pressure, you can write this one down. This is good, sir. Thank you. Pressure should meet love. Amen. When the devil backs you into a corner, you should run into the love of God. Because when you get back up into the love of God, that becomes your strength. That becomes your launching pad. Think of it this way. The love of God is what propels you into your victory. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, and our faith works by love. Love is the door, faith is the key. Amen. We're trying to use the key, but we haven't found the door. We just want to go stick the key in any lock and try to make it work. Well, no. Go to the door. Jesus, God, Jesus said things like this. I'm the door. Anybody that comes in by me, he shall come in and go out and find pasture. So that I can't just put the key anywhere I want to. I have to come in and go out by him. See? The banner over me is love. I settle it in love. I will not allow my heart, I will not allow my mouth, I will not allow my mind to go past the law of love. He called it a royal law. Glory to God. So then just because I hear it, if it's a royal law, that means it definitely has to be a kingdom law, doesn't it? Amen. See? So then because it is the overarching thing with our whole life, then we ought to go and say, Father, let me live this law of love. Let me fulfill. Isn't that what it says? Fulfill the law of love. Still in the book of James. See, he wants me to do that. This is how it's supposed to be done. And yet we see in our lives, in this community that we live in, we see people opting out of love. Being unwilling to love, unwilling to forgive. My God. I mean, well, first of all, Jesus didn't even make it optional anymore. A new commandment I give unto you. Didn't say this is a suggestion. Didn't say this is an optional way of living. He said this is a commandment. And what commandment is it? That ye love one another. And then he put a qualifier on that. As I have loved you. Wow. And the way we know and experience Jesus' love is because he laid down his life for us. And he asks us, requires us, commands us to love with that level of commitment. I mean, that's what it's going to require. I mean, do you want to see breakthrough in your life? I know you do. And the breakthrough is controlled by the regulator of forgiveness. See? It's not optional. That's why when I hear things from the darkness, because the Bible says that in God there is no darkness at all. So when I hear something that is shaded one way or another, that shading is darkness. It is a point of view, but it is not the point of truth. It does have observation, but you see, God, this is good. But the kingdom of God does not come with observation. So if I'm going to begin to try to look to see if the kingdom around me is operating for me, he said the kingdom does not come by this process of observation. It has to be by faith, which works by love. I hope you're getting this. See, because Ecclesiastes tells us that if we observe the surroundings, we won't sow. We won't give an opportunity for the kingdom to work because we won't sow into the principles of the kingdom. If you observe the surroundings, you observe the weather, you observe the temperature, you observe the climate, and then you withhold your love, the kingdom now cannot flow through you, to you, or work for you. Okay? I mean, just, it's really that simple. Okay? All right, I quoted it. Let me just show it to you. You hold your place in Ephesians chapter 3. We're coming back. Ecclesiastes. Right after Proverbs. Chapter 11. He said, verse 1. He says, cast your bread, your supply, upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Whatever you cast into the kingdom will come back to you. He just said that. Cast your supply upon the water. He did not say hoard your supply. He did not say withhold your supply. He did not say do anything but cast it. Okay, I'm sorry, y'all. I didn't even see him say perfect your supply right there. You know how some people say, well, I'm working on that love thing. He didn't tell you to work on that love thing. He told you to work the love thing. gives it. There was a song in my generation that says, love isn't love until it's given away. You cannot have love in reserve. Glory to God. You want to know one of the reasons you cannot have love in reserve? Because the book of Galatians says that we're supposed to owe no man anything but to love him. We owe him love. Every time I see you, I owe you love. That is what is required, commanded. So I can't hold it back in reserve because he said, don't owe the man the love. Be responsive with your love. Give it away. Cast your bread, cast your supply upon the waters with an S. It didn't say cast your bread up in the place where you like your bread to be. I'm sorry, I didn't see that in the scripture. He said cast it upon the waters. For thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to, listen at him again, to seven and also to eight. I mean, if I understand what was just stated, he said, do not withhold it, give it. Pass the point that you want to. Give it to seven. In fact, give it to eight. If you're still counting, you're still questioning. Okay, come on, y'all. See, if you're doing inventory, you're not sowing. Come on. And God is trying to get us to allow our heart to expand because he's the one that said, give and it shall be given. He's trying to get you to expand. He doesn't want you to hold your fist all clenched and hold on to what's in your fist. He needs you to use your hand as a channel so that everything that he wants to get out can flow. Seven, yea, even to eight. For thou knowest not, why do you give? Why do you give? Because you don't know what evil shall come upon the earth. You can stop the frustrations, anxieties, and fears in your life by giving, not by hoarding. I know it looks like we're coming at this a little bit left-handed this time. Because I wanted to specifically talk about the things that he said in Matthew chapter 6. And then go from there, built on what we built last time. But I have a sense that there is some prying that has to happen in our lives. We got our hands clenched, and the only thing a clenched hand is good for is fighting. Because a clenched hand makes a fist. So now you're going to be found fighting rather than planting. I don't know one farmer that can have a crop that he will harvest if he keeps his fist closed. If there's seed in his fist, in his clenched hand, it does not get to the ground because of the clenched hand. You're going to have to release so that the principles of the kingdom begin to operate. Cast your supply upon the waters. For thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, yea, even also to eight. For you don't know what evil is coming upon the earth. Then he says this. If the clouds be full of rain, they're going to empty themselves upon the earth. This is the principle of the kingdom. As the rain comes down from heaven and returns not thither, but waters the earth. And then this process of watering the earth makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be. He's connecting all of it together. These are the principles of the kingdom. God's not worried about the evil that's coming upon the earth because he sent rain to cause it to bring forth and bud. Amen.
He knows that he placed fruitfulness in our possession. And the fruitfulness will overcome the evil every time. You overcome evil with the good, by doing the good, by sowing the good, not by waiting for the good. Watch this. He's going to say it right here. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree fall to the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falls, that's where the tree is going to be. So he says, if you plant in this field, then your harvest will be in this field. If you don't plant in this field, there will be no harvest in this field. Where the tree falls is where the harvest will be. Where the action is where the action shall remain. Come on, y'all. But if I have no action, then there is no expectancy, is it? See, forgiveness is the regulator. I've got to get kingdom minded, and a kingdom minded person is a person that sows. A kingdom minded person is not the one taking inventory. He said there was a song, again, I went secular here. There was a song, I think Kenny Rogers said it. He said, you got to know when to hold them. You got to know when to fold them. You got to know when to walk away. He said, because there'll be time for counting after the deal is done. You never count your cards while they're sitting on the table. You do the counting after the deal is done. See? So if I'm taking inventory, I'm not participating in the plan that God wants me to participate to cause my future to be active. Oh, I understand the process of inventory is a part of life. Got that. Count the cost. Got that. But I don't count the cost and withhold because of the cost. That's where the problem is in most of our lives. Then he says in verse 4, and this is the one I was trying to get, that I quoted, that took me here. He says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow. If I'm looking at the climate, if I'm looking at the surroundings, if everything's supposed to be right, if it's hunky-dory, he said, he that observes the climate, the wind, the challenges, he said, that man, because he's looking at the wrong thing, the principle he should be looking at is, my job is to sow. My job is to cast my bread upon waters. I mean, y'all, the logic there really goes beyond what we've ever heard. Normally, we try to cast our seed upon the ground. He said, cause your supply to go to the waters. Cause your supply to have an infinite transition. Waters. Motion. Did he not say, out of your bellies will flow rivers of living water? He's trying to get our heart connected to the abundance that he supplies. And that abundance can only be tapped into through faith that works by love. Okay? These are the things that we have to begin to process our heart from that position. I do understand what the devil has done, and he's done a good job of deviling. He's been deviling for a long time. He's been lying to us. The only way he gains entrance into our lives and stops things is because we listen at the lie. We work the lie. We don't work the truth. God says, I have no greater joy than to know that my children work the truth, that they walk in the truth, that they utilize the truth, that my children are not the ones that observe the wind and then don't sow. Those are not my children. My children sow. Because my children are obedient, and I told my children, cast your bread upon the waters. I told my children, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I told my children that I'm not willing to do without a cheerful giver, and I am able to make all grace. You might give away some grace, but God's going to return your some grace with all grace. So that you will, that's where we're going there next, we'll go to Galatians chapter 6 and see it as he stated it. He that observes the wind will not sow. And he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. So if I have doom and gloom thinking, rain and clouds, I won't sow. And since I don't sow, I won't reap. Because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I've got to agree with God that now is the time. Now is the time of my salvation. See? He's looking for me to release out of my hand that which is necessary so he can bring into my life that which he promised. He cannot bring into my life that which he promised if I'm holding on to that which is rebellion. He told me to sow, cast my bread upon the waters. And I'm holding on to it for a better situation. I'm observing the wind. I'm observing the clouds. I think Jonah 2:8 says that if I observe lying vanities, I forsake my own mercy. Lying vanities. When God tells you to give, he's trying to open up your destiny. He's trying to free the flow of your future. God's not telling you to give so that he can see you suffer. See? His heart, he's always thinking, his thoughts that he thinks towards you, they are thoughts of peace, not of evil. They are thoughts that will bring you to your expected end. So he's working on that. But he has to work through all of the stuff that we've gotten stopped up with, blocked up with, damned up with. Through through what we call my field of experience. See, I'm not sowing in the field of love. I'm sowing in my field of experience. They hurt me. They said this, so I'm not going to do that. We've got to stop sowing into the field of my experience. See, we're going to have to begin to flow in the things of the Spirit, and that requires forgiveness. Amen. If you observe the wind, you will not sow, and you regard the clouds, you will not reap. As you don't know what the way of the Spirit, nor how bones do grow in the womb. I mean, come on, he gives us a good one there. I mean, how did God come up with that one? That the bones that are necessary for your support structure for your life are inside the womb. Come on, y'all. All you mothers, help me out with that one. Something that is strong enough to support you for life is malleable enough to fit in a mother's womb. Same bones. You don't get new bones. The pre-programmed DNA in the bone tells it at this time to do these things, and that structure was in there in an embryonic state. And he said, you don't know the things of the Spirit. You don't know what God is doing. You don't contemplate. It's not that you are going to be woefully ignorant. You don't even contemplate how God wants to do what he promised he said he would do. You keep thinking it can't be possible, but yet there's a baby being born seconds into every day. Amen. And we still haven't figured out how are these bones in this womb going to support that life. Even if the bones become lame, they can receive strength after the fact. Remember the book of Acts, chapter 3. The man was lame from his mother's womb. And Peter and John said, silver and gold we don't have, but what we do have, we give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise. And it says, and the man's bones, his ankle bones, received strength. And next thing we saw, he was leaping, shouting, dancing, running. Same bones. God has put in the kingdom what's necessary for your victory by the kingdom. Your victory does not come any other way. Your victory comes by the kingdom. And the first requirement in the kingdom is forgiveness. And we're going to get back and study that. So then again, verse 5, you know it's not what the way of the Spirit, nor how bones grow in the womb of her that is with child. Even so, you don't know the works of God who maketh all. So in the morning, sow thy seed. In the evening, withhold out thy hand, for thou knowest not whether what shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Glory to God. Notice in this scripture, he didn't even bother to talk about the bad. He said either this one would prosper or either that one would prosper. He didn't say one would fail. But he said, or they both will work alike. He's trying to get your heart wrapped around the abundance that he provides. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 3 first. Starting at verse 10. Because see, we have an obligation to understand this love, to walk in this love, to perfect this love. Okay, and when I say perfected, I'm not talking about the actions of it. I'm talking about the understanding of it. Because if you understand a thing, those that know their God, those that understand their God, they are the ones that will be strong. They are the ones that will do exploits. See? Ephesians chapter 3. Starting at verse 1, I might as well just do the whole chapter. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me towards you, how by revelation he made known unto me the mystery of, as I wrote afore in few words. Wow. The man said he wrote the mystery, and we've got two-thirds of the Bible written by him, and he called that a few words. Glory to God. Same thing about Jesus. The Bible says that if all the books that were that could be written about him and the things that he did, he said the worlds would not be able to contain it. So I get Paul's perspective. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in the other ages was not known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy prophets and apostles by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel.
Mouthful right there. We should be partakers, fellow heirs. Wow. Fellow heirs. Come on. Not sub-heirs. Fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the same promise that was working in Christ. And it worked by the word, by the gospel. Glory to God. That's some shouting territory right there. Whereof, because of this, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power. Paul didn't say it's because of me. It was the effectual working of his power. When we submit, the power works. When we don't submit, the power remains dormant. It does remain, though. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make men, all men, see. So then, this writing that you're reading right now is to make you see what Paul had entered into by revelation. He wrote it so that you can enjoy it. He wants you to be a fellow heir and a partaker of the same promise, with the same power, with the same effectiveness. Fellow heirs. Joint heirs. And if heirs, sons. Amen. And to make, verse 9, all men see. What is the mystery, Lucas? Make all men see. See, this helps us with our testimony positioning. I don't know why the church decided to go to the church to try to get converts in the church when he told us to make all men see. Amen. Jesus did not tell us, go ye therefore into all the church. He said, go into all the world. Because he has deposited in the earth the power for victory for every man's life. That's why he gave to every man the measure of faith. That he's requiring us to go cause them to wake up as an every man and utilize the faith. Not as a defeated man, as an every man. Oh, that'll preach right there. It's time for you to no longer be a defeated man. It's time for you to be an every man. Glory to God. For whatsoever believes on him, whosoever or whatsoever believeth, overcometh. Come on now. That's an every man. That's not a That is not a special man. That's an every man. Amen. So we've got to do something with our every man responsibility, don't we? Amen. I'm supposed to make all men see. So then that means I've got some every man responsibility. Glory to God. Those in the church, those not connected to the church, I have been sent to the everyman. Amen. The whole earth, the Bible says, is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Why? Because then when we get this gospel of the, glory to God, this gospel of the kingdom, see, it's going to be preached to every man. Then we can expect the end. Until we decide to get busy with our everyman responsibility, we're going to keep in this mess. See, we've got to decide that we're not going to hold it to ourselves, but that we're going to share it, release it. We're going to cast our bread upon the waters. You know, don't notice this about the casting of bread upon the waters. I did not force my bread to go someplace.
I simply released my bread to the waters. See, we've been doing this wrong, and it has not been effective. We've been going and shouting at the people that are opposing themselves and then demanding that they change and act like, think like, and do like us. No, that's not my job. The bread that has been cast causes them to come in. They are, you have to, in order for this to work, if you have to be hungry, you have to be thirsty. Because the ones that are hungry, not the ones that are shouted at, the ones that are hungry, they're the ones that's going to get the filling. We thought that because of our much speaking, we was going to cause things to change. No, we didn't understand the position of heart. See, it has to all work by love. See, we were trying to work it because we thought we loved. But if we loved, technically, if we loved, the Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. So then I can't judge the people that's out there sinning, because if I'm loving, the first thing I'm going to do in love is cover the sin. Amen. Jesus covered the sin of those that were busy killing him. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He covered the sin right then, right there. But here we are exposing the sin, not walking in love and not causing love to bring the victory that love intended to have in the earth. When he comes back, will he find faith in the earth? Not if love's not here, he won't. Because faith works by love. It doesn't work by hollering at them. Amen. Oh, it only took me like 40 years to figure that one out. But see, now my mindset is, Lord, how can I cause this thing to be wrapped up? Okay, I'm going to say it the way I hear it. I need to find out what can I do to cause this thing to be wrapped up rather than being wrapped up in the thing. Oh, yeah. Amen. Jesus came into his own, and his own received him not, but he didn't stop doing his job. He didn't get wrapped up in the thing. He continued to do his job. Therefore, he's now seated at the right hand of the throne of God on high, and has been given a name that is above every name, and at the very mention of the name, every knee will bow. Why? Because he did what he was supposed to. He didn't get wrapped up. He got the thing wrapped up. Come on, y'all. Otherwise, he could not say it's finished, could he? If he didn't get the thing wrapped up, he couldn't say it's finished. But here we are working for the last 2,000 plus years, and we haven't got the thing wrapped up because we got wrapped up in it. We became pharisaical and in our mind, and Sadducees-like in our mind. And he did tell us, except our righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, exceeds that of the Sadducees. And here we are becoming equal to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, making rules instead of offering relationship. Amen. I hope you're seeing this. See, because the Sadducees and the Pharisees did not function and operate in forgiveness. They operated in judgment, pure and simple. You don't remember the man? I am not like this man. I am righteous. I pray every day. I give my alms to the church. And the other man didn't even lift his eyes toward heaven. And God, Jesus said, the one that has humility, that's the one I'm listening to. This is Sadducee. Ain't no conversation getting to heaven from him. Have mercy on me. Beat his chest and say, Lord, all I need is mercy. He said, this one leaves it justified. But here we are, body of Christ, and we're thinking from a pharisaical mindset, just like a Sadducee, making rules that the Bible, Jesus said, it keeps people out of the kingdom. We didn't enter in, and we're keeping them out. See, because we didn't function in forgiveness as our priority. We're getting around back to it. I mean, I'm just trying to weave it in because it's there. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, everybody say now, now to the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. See, God is wanting us to display that. He's wanting us to show that. But we're trying to show a rule and a regulation rather than the manifold wisdom of God that's able to get them out, because God knows how to deliver by many or by few. He knows no limits or no restraints. It doesn't matter how deep their sin is, because the blood of Jesus, the Bible says, he's able to save to the uttermost. See, so there's not a problem with the blood. It's not a problem with the word. For he sent the word to heal and deliver from all. The problem has always been in the presentation. Amen. So he's trying to get us to represent him instead of present us. Present religion. He doesn't want us to present that. He wants us to represent him. See? As he is, so are we in this earth. To the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers. See, here we are, just again, y'all, just simple stuff. We're wrestling with the people, and the battle is not with the people. It's with the principalities and powers that have the people bound. The thing that has been set up, the hierarchical structure that has been set in place that we haven't even dealt with. See, because the Bible says against the fruit of the Spirit, there is no law, which means I cannot be stopped by a legal system. I have precedence over any legal system. I have jurisdiction over any legal setup system. But when I don't allow the royal law of liberty to operate, then I'm going to be bound by the legal system that I find myself, that I placed myself in. To the intent that now, until the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church. So, church, who are you talking to? Are you talking to the people and mad at the people? Or are you speaking in the spirit to the principalities and powers and showing them by your walk of love that it might be made known? He did not say that it might be talked about. I'm sorry, that's the word that's in there. They're looking for evidence. They're looking for the release of power. Not vanity in your words. Amen. As we go and demonstration of power, that's what Paul says. I don't come with alluring words. I come with the demonstration of the Spirit and power. That your hope might not be in man's preaching, but in the power of God. See, our presentation has been just a little bit off. And a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Might be made known by the church. Might be walked out. Might be displayed by the church. The manifold wisdom of God. God. the wisdom of God that's able to affect any situation, because it is manifold wisdom. Not yesterday's wisdom. Not the last time we saw this problem's wisdom. Manifold wisdom. Able to work exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. According to the eternal purpose, which was purposed in Jesus. This is what he used. Jesus used the eternal purpose. That's why he was not, that's good, y'all. Jesus tapped into the eternal purpose. That's why he was not upset, because they didn't understand his purpose. We get upset because we don't think they heard us. Amen. We count them as insignificant because they didn't listen at our wisdom. But Jesus didn't do that. He connected to the eternal purpose. See? The purpose that promises that my word will not return void, but it will prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. It will accomplish that which I please. He tapped into the eternal purpose, because it flat out said he came to his own and his own received him not. And he didn't get mad at them. He started looking at the ones that said that he was talking to that heard him, but to as many as received. Next part of the scripture. To them he gave the power. See, come on. He didn't get frustrated by the ones that didn't hear. He was too busy trying to get the power to the ones that would hear. But to as many as received, to them he gave the power to become sons. Glory to God. I don't know how many them was, but that's the them he was interested in. Amen. And because one was interested, then what happens was the next day after they started doing the thing after his resurrection, it says 3,000 in one day were added to the church. The next day, 5,000. And then it said after that, and the Lord adds daily to the church those that should be saved. Amen. See, he keeps his heart connected to the eternal purpose, not a temporary result. So that would be a question for us. Are we staying connected to the eternal purpose, or are we going to just look at the temporary result and observe the wind and regard the clouds? Not sowing, not reaping. Verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore, because of this, I desire that you don't faint at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause, this is my prayer, I bow my knee, both my knees to the Father and Lord of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And what is the prayer? That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, that you would be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you would then be rooted and grounded in love. Why? So that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, what is the length, what is the depth, what is the height, and that you would know the love of God, the love of Christ, which passes your knowledge. Wow. See, this is what Paul prayed. This is the way Paul believed. Looking at people that was completely acting a fool with the gospel. I mean, there were situations when Paul would come, they had what they referred to as church prostitutes. Yeah. Women of the night advertising and utilizing their wares at the church service. Well, that wasn't nothing new. They didn't care nothing about bringing sex in church. You remember the woman that was caught in adultery, in the very act? They brought her to the church service. Threw her in front of Jesus in the church service. That's thinking like a Pharisee. That's bringing rules and regulations. There's nothing new. And Jesus didn't go, how dare you do that? Jesus ministered to the one that they rejected. He said, okay, good. I'm going to tell you what. Let's deal with y'all knuckleheads first. I tell you what. You think it's wrong. You who are without sin, cast the first stone. Go ahead. We're going to get this done. Y'all want blood? The one that ain't got no sin, go ahead. Throw the first rock. And it said, the Bible says, they all began to leave from the eldest to the youngest. And he never even looked at them. He was writing on the ground. See, because the power of the conviction of the word does not need my attention. It needs my release. Amen. So Jesus was just walking, writing on the ground, ignoring them. Then when they was all gone, he looked up and didn't see them. He only saw the woman. Then he asked the woman, woman, where are these thine accusers? And she said, there are none, Lord. He said, well, now let me tell you something. This is some new news. Neither do I condemn thee. Go thy way and sin no more. See, love covered the sin. They tried to expose the sin. I don't know what they did with the man. They didn't bring the man who was in the very act of adultery. They brought the woman. Because they were trying to bring accusation. They were not trying to bring resolution. And in the middle of an accusation, Jesus brought resolution. But if he would have observed the winds, if he would have looked at the clouds, he would not have sown, and there would have been no reaping. So you're going to have to learn to push past all the stuff that the devil uses as distractions. Connect yourself to the eternal purpose that's already purposed in Christ Jesus. Because he who begun a good work, he's faithful to complete it. For this cause, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, that you would be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Then you would be rooted and grounded in love, not soon moved from love. And then because of that, that's the first step to accurate comprehension, he says. Look at it, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that then you would be rooted, that then you would be grounded in love, and that then you would be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and you will know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. You will go to a dimension that you've never entered before because it will be beyond knowledge. Beyond knowledge is the place of Jesus' building. It's the place of revelation. Amen. And he's always building upon that. He's building his church upon that rock. And that rock causes victory to be guaranteed because the gates of hell cannot even prevail against that rock. That you would know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. And if that wasn't enough, that you would be filled with all the fullness of God. Woo, glory to God. I mean, see, this is why forgiveness is necessary, because without forgiveness, he can't cause a filling of all. If I have unforgiveness in my heart, he can't put the fullness of God in a place that already has unforgiveness in it. I mean, that's the way it is. He's trying to get us to function by the word every time, all the time. Here a little, there a little, line upon line, line upon line. This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing. See? But we didn't want that. We wanted to walk around in our knowledge because our knowledge, unfortunately, puffs up. His knowledge provides victory. You knowing what to say might be good for you, but I'd rather see what he wants to do than know what to say. Because his wisdom is going to pass my understanding, pass my knowledge. I'll be filled with all the fullness of God. And in that place, now, unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that's allowed to work in us. Unforgiveness does not allow that power to work in us. Therefore, it cannot work through us. It cannot work for us. I'll still have vanity in my thinking because I'll know that he's supposed to, but it never happens because I have not been able to comprehend with all the saints the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of the love of God. Oh, beloved, we've got the work to do. We got to get it right, make it right, and then keep it right. If you don't forgive, you will not be able to believe. If you do not forgive, you will not be able to believe. If you do not forgive, you won't even be able to pray. Jesus said that as you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any. See, forgiveness is our only option. It's the regulator for all of the kingdom of God. Because unforgiveness stops your conversation. In Mark chapter 11, verse 26, when Jesus told us to have the faith of God, if you say that it's about to be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe those things that you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. And as you stand praying, forgive. For if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. Your conversation can't even make it past your nose. Forget heaven. You just cut off your conversation with your Father. That's what we talked about last week. I've come full circle and got back to where we was last week, Matthew chapter 6. And we understood that the regulator of forgiveness is connected to everything that he said in the Lord's Prayer. It's connected to my prayer life because he told us in verse 9, after this manner, pray. See, so forgiveness, he's going to tie it together. Forgiveness is connected to my prayer life. It's connected to my identity as a son because I can't pray our Father if I'm not going to forgive. I cannot make his name hallowed, so he just connected forgiveness to my worship. He connected forgiveness to the movement of his kingdom because with forgiveness, his kingdom can come. If I don't forgive, his kingdom cannot move. His will cannot be done on earth as it is in heaven. It cannot move in the earth the way it moves in heaven because in heaven there is no unforgiveness. There is no unrighteousness. So then his will moves freely in heaven. And if I don't choose to forgive, then the kingdom that I want to see move on the earth can't happen. My supply is jacked up because my forgiveness connects to my daily supply. Verse 11. Because he said in verse 12, forgive our debts as we forgive. Circle that big word as there. So if I do not forgive, I cannot be forgiven. I cannot talk to God. I cannot have my supply daily. I cannot have his will being done in the earth as it is in heaven. His kingdom won't move. He's not hallowed. I'm not a son. I can't pray. Verse 13 says he can't even lead me because he will not lead into temptation. If I'm thinking that I'm not going to forgive, he cannot lead me because that would be causing me to go into temptation of sin, and he has nothing to do with it. He doesn't even bother trying to lead me. Amen. It's what Jesus said. It's in red. So then if I don't forgive, he cannot deliver me from evil. Because all of this is contingent on forgive as we forgive. I cannot be connected to his kingdom, which is his. The power, which is his. Okay, if I'm not going to be connected to his kingdom, his power, and his glory, then I must have to function in my power, my kingdom, and my glory. How's that working out for you? And he said, this is the way it's going to work forever and ever. But if you don't forgive men their trespasses, then God cannot forgive you. See? I mean, I hope you see that forgiveness is the only option. It's the only path to victory that we have. Plan B does not exist. So then, okay, my access into eternity goes through forgiveness. So then, if I choose not to forgive, my eternity is going to be connected to that. It's going to be torment. Hell on earth, if you would. Because he says this connection of the Lord's Prayer is forever and ever. Thy word, O God, is forever settled in the heavens. Can't change it. So turn over to Matthew chapter 18. And let's just look at what he says here. See, all of these things are teaching us how we should think, how we should function. Okay? He didn't say these things just because, again, he was filling up paper to make a collection of the Bible. He's giving the people that would hear, he that has ears, he said, let him hear. Chapter 18. Do the whole chapter. I'm going to do parts of it, but I want to show you something here in the verse. It says that at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying something. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? So I hadn't noticed this before. They were so busy trying to build kingdom, they were not trying to serve kingdom. They were trying to find out who's the greatest. So then we take that thought and walk it through the rest of the chapter, okay? Since they brought that thought out in the beginning, it does pass through the chapter. It becomes the backdrop to the chapter, if you would, okay? So pride is one of the things we can see in verse 1. And pride brings with it envy and strife. Is that correct? And where there's envy and strife, the Bible says in the book of James, chapter 4, there is every evil work. Right? So I just want you to think about that as we go through here. Because Jesus is dealing with stuff in the inner circle. Okay? He does it politely, but he still deals with it because it's there. You see it in verse 1. Okay? So then Jesus goes through the whole process and saying, y'all need to be converted. And if you ain't converted, you're going to be jacked up from now on. Then he gets down to verse, because it was evident, again, by what we see, that they were harboring unforgiveness because somebody didn't think that they were the greatest. Okay. And they might have talked about that principle to another brother. And then now I got two people that don't like me, blah, 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 blah. Observing wind and regarding clouds. Okay. Look at this. So then in verse 15, he starts getting into their grill, if you would. He says, moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell his fault between thee and him alone. And if he hear you, you gain thy brother. But if he will not hear you, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. He did not say to make the person guilty, did he? He said, go to establish the word. So if you're not going to take somebody with you that's going to speak the word of God, not try to condemn the person that you think is wrong, don't do this process. Okay? And if he neglect to hear thee, tell it to the church. And if he neglect to hear the church, let him be as a heathen and a heathen man and a publican. For verily, truly, I say unto you, that whatever you bind on earth, if you stop this on earth, it's already stopped in heaven. If you loose this on earth, it's not, you see what I'm saying? Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. It must be working in heaven for you to make it work on the earth. If it's not working in heaven, it can't work on the earth. Because when you try to work stuff that's not working in heaven, you're going to cause yourself to now be stuck with your strength, your power, your kingdom. And again, I say unto you, that if any of you shall agree as touching anything on earth, as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of them of my Father, done for them of my Father who's in heaven. So he says, if I can get y'all to agree, you can get stuff done. All right? I mean, he's trying to get the unforgiveness out of the church. If a brother offends you, make the thing right with your brother. Get in agreement with your brother so that God can get things done. He's trying to get things done in the earth, but he can't get you to agree because you're too busy trying to figure out who's the greatest. For any time you get together where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. And then Peter asked the question. This is how you know this was not a one-off question that Peter asked in verse 21. He was asking the question because of verse 1. See? Because they were having this conversation being mad because you don't think I'm all that. Well, what you come to church for? I come to church to glorify God. Well, I'm going to tell you how to get this, what God said. No, we don't see, that's what they were doing. They were in the flesh. And then Peter asked this question to try to get his heart straight. And Peter said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus said, boy, it ain't got nothing to do with seven times. about 70 times 7. Then he says, let me show you. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he began to reckon, one was brought to him which owed him 10,000 talents. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded for him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. And the servant fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. Circle that. The Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. And these are the steps. He loosed him and forgave him the debt. And the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. And his fellow servants fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience, and I'll pay you all. But he would not. He cast him into the prison until he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were sorry. They came and told the Lord all that was done. Then when his Lord heard it, called him and said, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you desired it. And he said, shouldn't you have done to have compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had compassion on thee? And the Lord was wroth with him, and the Lord then delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you if you do not from your heart forgive everyone his brother their trespasses. Now, I said all of that so that we can see some things here, because if you don't forgive, I want you to know what's going to happen to you. According to the scripture, Jesus said that you will be delivered to the tormentors by the Lord himself. And the term of your torment shall be until you pay what is due. Verse 35, so that you will not get it confused. So likewise shall your heavenly Father do unto you. Don't tell me God won't do it, because he just said he would. That's in your Bible. I didn't go in your house and write that in there. It says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you. If you do not forgive from your heart, and that word, from that phrase, from your heart, means for us to choose from this point in time an active flow from now. So he didn't say, go home and try to figure out. He said, do it now. If you do not have an active flow at this point in time, the word is aorist, A-O-R-I-S-T. You can look it up in your strong concordance. It's a point in time, an active flow. See? So then here we are trying to observe the wind, regard the clouds, and say, well, if he do that, I'll forgive. And Jesus said, no. If you do not do it at the point in time, see? Because the Bible admonishes us not to let the sun go down on our wrath. My God, I know people that have let years go by on their wrath. Forget the sun. Months. Why? Because they didn't believe, A, and understand that God says, if you don't do this, you're going to be turned over to tormentors. We're going to get into that next week, being turned over to the tormentors. Torment in your life. Lack of this. Things not working. That's torment, isn't it? And yet we'll continue to function in that prison, because you can get out of the prison. All you have to do to get out of the prison is forgive. It's that simple. Wow. Come on. The only thing you owe the man is love. That's what you owe him. And yet we'll continue to have an existence not paying the man the love we owe him. And we'll go to prison, be tormented. and then blame the person, whoever we want to blame, for our plight in life, when all of the time it's because you chose to stop the regulator of forgiveness from allowing God to get things into your life that he needs to get into your life. So we're going to pick up here next week and look at what is God saying when he said he will deliver me to the tormentors. I'm trying to get you out of jail, brothers and sisters. God needs you active in the earth in this time, doing the things that are necessary so that his glory can be expected to flow in the earth. But we damned the flow because we thought that people would get away with, as opposed to, I am forgiving so that I can receive from God. The choice is yours. Which will you choose? Will you choose to continue to function in unforgiveness and stop the flow? Or would you choose to release at this point in time so that you can get back to the place where God's will can be done, where God's kingdom can move, can come to you, where God's words can speak to you? Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you. Father, we just thank you. We bless you because you have loving kindness and tender mercies toward us. You only have good in store for us. Cause us to see how we become our own worst enemy, doing things contrary to your will, to your word, to your way, demanding that we are right and that they should change, not willing to surrender because we were too busy building kingdoms rather than kingdom serving. Help us, Father, as we prepare our hearts, cultivating our mind to think the way you have ordained us to think and function. We give you praise, sir. We give you glory and honor. Committing it to you is done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Well, if you have any questions or comments about the ministry tonight, we'll give you an opportunity to speak at this portion. So area code 312-330-0420, you have the mic. Area code 312-330-4024, you have the mic. Any comments or questions about the ministry tonight?
Hello, yes, and thank God for your teaching.
Go ahead.
It was just, it was right on point. And it really gave us insight into a lot of the, we don't have full understandings of scripture sometimes. And so it was really, really good for you to deliberate on it the way that you did. And there were a couple of things that God said to me while you were talking. And one of them was about kingdom, when you were talking about the kingdom of God that is within us. We don't generally build our kingdoms within us. We build it on the lust of the eyes.
Around it.
Things that are on the outside. So we really need to work on that, all of us, me included. When you talked about a new commandment, we still want to live under the law by the Ten Commandments, but there were so many other commandments that God gave in addition to those Ten Commandments. But loving your neighbor as yourself and your God with all your heart,
mind, soul. That's right.
Yeah, that covers everything. Ten Commandments and everything else. And the only other thing that I want to say, you know, God told me a long time ago that you can't make people come into the kingdom. You have to love them into the kingdom.
Amen.
It is just so true. And I just want to say that we all fall short. We all miss from time to time. But the other thing was in the unforgiveness part, we have to be very careful that we don't let third party unforgiveness get in our heart.
Because we get
upset and ticked off when somebody will do something to our child or to we have to be very careful that we don't harbor that unforgiveness in our heart too, because that prevents God's grace, God's blessings coming upon us. So that's all I want to say. And again, thank you very much for the teaching today.
Amen.
Loved every minute.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Be blessed. Yeah, that is so true about the unforgiveness, third-party unforgiveness. That's the best way I know to put that to you. It's so good. Because we're not supposed to be a partaker of another man's sin. And we'll go and share all of the things that somebody did with us. And now they some kind of way get it right, but we all jacked up still because we are dealing with third-party unforgiveness. Amen. That was good. Area code 678-469-7930. You have the mic. Area code 678-469-7930. Any questions or comments about the ministry tonight?
One question.
Go ahead.
In reference to the water, what is the water?
In that case where we were talking about in Ecclesiastes, that is the motion of the Spirit. That's what that would reflect, the motion of the Spirit. That is nothing to do with flesh. It's not just natural water. He was giving them the connotation of, because if you hold on to whatever you have, then it can, again, with the tight-fisted hand, it can only bless you, okay? But if you let it go, now anyone that can come in contact with that water can come in contact with what you just sowed, can't they? See, that's why he wants you to give. So the water is a expression of the flow of the Spirit. And you cast your, he did not tell you to cast your bread in the flesh. He didn't tell you that. Okay? He didn't even tell you to cast your bread in the family. He said in the water. Because the water, he said just before that, he said, you don't know how the Spirit moves. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. You can look back at chapter 11 in Ecclesiastes, just so that you can see it.
All right. Thank you.
And just take your time and study that. Because he says that, he says here, verse 5, for you don't know the way of the Spirit. So he's the what he's using as a comparison here is the water, because the water has always been representative of the Spirit, the flow, because out of your bellies, Jesus said, shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the Spirit. So he flat out connected the two. Okay, but for them, it was also the river would carry their seed or their supply downstream to others to let them know that somebody else is interested in your life and gave a seed for you. So it's a lot of connotations there, but it still refers to the flow of the Spirit is the easiest answer that you can get.
Thank you, brother.
Okay. All right. Not a problem. All right. Have a blessed one. And that's all of the callers that stayed on the line. And again, I'd like to thank you for being a part of the ministry tonight. And if the Lord lays it on your heart to sow a seed here at livedeliverance.com, just go to the website and look for the donate tab, and you can sow a seed. Be obedient, because as we were talking about, he said all of the things about giving, all of the things about casting, all of the promises about receiving because of the flow of God in your life,
This is a great time to sow into that flow so that God can do what he's wanting to do in your life, not because of my words, but because of hearing truth in your heart. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom until the next time we gather. Love y'all. Be blessed.